Lord. And during this Advent season, we are reminded that we are living between the two arrivals of Jesus. The first one that we celebrate so robustly is his earthly coming as a child, and then his second coming, where he comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords to rule and reign forever and forever. Help us, Lord, today to grasp a little bit more of this hopeful life that we are to live. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. You know, some decades ago, physicist Albert Einstein insisted that time is relative, meaning that the rate at which time passes depends on your frame of reference. And the older you get, the more you realize this, because it does get a little faster as you go along. The other thing is, if you're having a really good day, it always goes too fast. If you're having a really lousy day, it always goes too slow. I didn't have to have a physicist tell me this. You didn't have to have a physicist tell you that either. The older you get, the faster time passes. And as the eminent American poet and philosopher Andy Rooney once quipped, "I've learned that life is like a roll of toilet paper. The closer you get to the end, what? The faster it goes." So, yeah, I know. But it does fit the text this morning, all right? So, in this morning's text, the Apostle Peter is attempting to quell all kinds of errors surrounding people's misinterpretation of the Lord's second coming. In fact, they were thinking that somehow, some way, that Jesus had forgotten to come. That, hey, you know, he said he was going to come before we died, and where is he now? And they were all concerned because it seemed like there was a huge delay in his return. And so some of the false teachers had just given up on the idea that Jesus would return at all. What's he going to do with this? It hasn't happened when we expected it. So where are you? What are you doing? What are you thinking, Jesus? Of course, their problem was viewing life through the lens of ordinary time rather than seeing it through the lens of eternity. And there is a huge difference, because to God, time is flexible. It's flexible. He's not bound by seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, and years like you and I are. God is not hindered by our constraints. God is eternal. He's above time. He works through time. He works around time. He does what he wants with time because he is God. God is not hindered by the things that limit us. And this season of Advent helps remind us such important truth. God is always on time. No matter what it looks like, God is always on time. And it's an error for you and I to get upset at his delay and make excuses for it. You know, there are days, usually those longer days, that aren't so great. I'm like, Jesus, would you please just show up? Today would be a great day for this to happen. Where are you? Why haven't you come yet? Come on, what are you doing? And you know what? This is all in his time. It's all on his time frame, and because time is flexible with him, we can't pinpoint dates. How foolish it is for us to even try to predict it or even think that we could outdo it. We have to submit ourselves to the clock of God's realm and allow his time to rule our time, to live daily with an Advent frame of reference about time. So to live with this Advent view of time, we have to recognize, first of all, that God's time is different. It just is. And it's so easy for us to assume that God has to operate within the limitations of our world, that he is somehow encumbered by clocks and calendars, that somehow his eternal work, his eternal plan has to be shrunk drastically to fit our circumstances. None of that is true. God doesn't shrink his plans. He doesn't shrink his time frame. He doesn't shrink his abilities to fit our time frame. He does what he does regardless of our time frame. He does what suits him and fulfills his purposes. So we need to get on his time clock so we can learn to live patiently and well in this present evil age. And in order to do that, we have to realize that God can expand and contract time as he chooses. He expands and he contracts it as it chooses. In verse 8, Peter quotes from Psalm chapter 90, verse 4. It says, "With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are like a day." You see, expansion, contraction. And I've heard some, since childhood, I grew up in the church, I've heard some really horrible misuses of this verse. It is not a literal statement. He's trying to tell us that God doesn't view time the way we do. So what's happened, though, the really bad uses of this is, you know, people say, oh, this is a formula by which God operates, or this is some sort of mathematical equation for figuring out end times time frames. No, it's not. It's not there to fuel our apocalyptic curiosities or speculations. It's there to show us that we don't understand the time frame that God is on. Relax. God's got this. The best images I know that can help explain Peter's point are the accordion and the slinky, if they're up there, okay? They both flex, right? They both flex. You can squeeze them together and contract them. You can expand them. And it doesn't matter what you do to them, they're still the accordion and the slinky, right? So when God does this, what? He expands time. The day is like 1,000 years. Or he contracts it. 1,000 years are like a day, but it's still time. And he just does as he chooses. For God, time is like that. A day is like 1,000 years. It means that God expands it as he chooses. It's like a day. It means that he can contract time as he chooses. He is Lord over time, and he flexes it to suit his purposes. So when we think that Christ is slow in returning, hey, you should show up soon. Would you get after it? It's just God choosing to flex time to align with his plans and his purposes. And since God views time differently, how should we perceive time? How should we look at it? You can't completely free yourself from the clock or the calendar. You got to show up at work tomorrow if you're still working on time and work a full shift. If you have school tomorrow, probably around 8 o'clock and usually around 3 p.m., the whole thing lets out. You got to be there for it. I have stuff on my calendar like you have stuff on your calendar. You got to be there for the appointment. You got to pay your taxes by April 15th, unless you get an extension. Right? I mean, there are deadlines that still have to be met. We can't just jettison this idea of time. So what do? Well, we can begin to see things from God's perspective. We can see and look at the big picture with faith and with hope, knowing that God knows what he's doing and that his timing is always perfect. And this is really a struggle for us, because when I'm impatient about what God is doing, what I'm saying is, I'm not sure you know what you're doing. When I'm impatient with what he's doing, I'm saying, I'm not sure you're in control of this. And then what do? I'm just talking about me. I make really stupid decisions and I try to take charge of it. And I get impatient and I run ahead of it and I'm like, yeah, I got this and I'm going to make this happen. And God's like, ah, if you just relax and let me do this, you know, just shakes his, how many times does God shake his head? I'm like, oh my word, what is wrong with you? Don't you understand? God is working out his plan. The world seems a little chaotic, doesn't it? Man, it's getting dark. Oh, it's awful. But what? He's still working out his plan, isn't he? It doesn't matter what people think they can do to thwart what God wants to do. It doesn't matter how big their plans are. God is using their failures, their wickedness, and he is pushing out to his desired end, no matter what it looks like. So that means that it's necessary for you and I to view God as infinitely greater, infinitely wiser, infinitely more capable than we are. Is he? Oh boy, I hope so. He is Lord of heaven and earth. We are not. He knows the beginning from the end. We do not. He can flex time at his will. We cannot. So, apparently, any delay in his return must mean something significant. Oh man, I wish he'd get after it. Not your job. Wow, man, I don't know why he hasn't come. I want to see him come in my lifetime too. But what? His patience is something significant to us. Here it is. God's patience is our opportunity. God's patience is our opportunity. When we read the New Testament, and man, I'd like to think that I read it carefully for years and years and years, but then I come across a passage like this and I went, man, what was I thinking when I read this passage? You got to pause, you got to read it carefully. And when we do that, we capture the meaning more fully. I had a New Testament theology professor from Great Britain when I was in grad school, and he's like, read it carefully. there has to be a careful reading of the New Testament. You better be reading that New Testament. I mean, for a week, that's all you heard. It's like, read the New Testament carefully. And then he'd point you to a passage and he'd say, that's not at all what you thought it meant, is it? When you read it carefully, now you understand it. Exactly. So we're going to read this one carefully. Verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with whom? With you. Oh. Who is you? The people that are receiving the letter, right? And those people, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, are to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. He is being patient with those who have faith. And you've never read it that way before, unless you've read it carefully. He is being patient with you, believer, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. And because the world is going to be destroyed in this way, if you get down on the other verses, what kind of lives ought you to live? And because you're looking forward to this day, make sure that you are living blameless, right? So you see, the object of his intent here is us. So God's patience is an opportunity for believers in two ways. God's patience is our opportunity to straighten up and fly right. Okay. Yeah. This is why we don't hear a lot of Peter preached in churches. Right here. Like, he says, God is being patient with you. Whew, okay. So that you can straighten up and fly right. Listen, if you're ever irritated by the seeming slowness of Christ's return, remember that it's delayed so that you and I can straighten up and get right with God. And that should be good news for rebelling believers and for those who love them and for those of us who are really trying to live it right. Thank you, God, that you're patient with us. Verse 11 tells us that God's patience in delaying the coming purging of creation gives believers the opportunity to learn to live holy and godly lives. I have today, you have today, out of God's goodness and patience, so that we can learn to fly right and live holy lives. Wow. And then you move down to verse 14, and Peter says, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with God on the final day. So anything that God grants us, if I get up tomorrow and my eyes open, that is a day of God's patience with me where I can learn to live to be spotless and blameless and at peace with God. Man, God is good. He gives us patience. God's patience is our opportunity as believers to learn to live obediently, to take seriously the life that He desires us to live, and to become more and more and more like Jesus. There's a second opportunity. God's patience is our opportunity to spread the word. The immediate context is he's patient with you believers because he doesn't want anyone else to perish, but he wants everyone to come to repentance. That's a missional tone, isn't it? That's mission right there. God is patient with believers so that we can learn to live holy lives and live right with him, but also because he doesn't want anyone else that is not yet a believer to perish. He doesn't want, I mean, God is not going to take any delight at the judgment seat of Christ saying, you're not going. He wants everybody who draws breath to come to faith in him. And he's patient with us, the believing church, so that we can partner with him to spread the good news and to draw them in. God's patience is our opportunity to expand his influence through the sharing of the gospel. And I love the fact, did you guys read verse 12? I did. Verse 12 is amazing. Okay, we got to start at verse 11. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? Well, you ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God. You catch that last line? And speed it's coming. Ooh. Wait a minute. We get to participate in this? So God can expand and contract time as he chooses, and for some strange reason, he chooses us in the process of contracting time to speed the day. Because when we live holy lives, and when we share the word, what are we doing? we are helping in the process of contracting time and speeding the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, man. We get to participate in this? God always invites us to participate. That's an amazing reality. When we choose to straighten up, obeying Christ and sharing his message, we speed the timing of his return. Well, Dave, explain that to me. Oh, good news, I can't. So I'm going to invoke my favorite Roman Catholic word. It is a mystery. Just believe it. Oh, that's so frustrating. I know, you're an American and a Westerner, just like, I want a scientific explanation for this. There isn't one! He just said, I can expand and contract time as I choose, and I'm going to use you guys in the process. That's all right. Just believe it and participate in it. Live holy, share the word. And to live with an Advent view of time, we also must realize that our lives must be lived looking forward. Listen, there's nothing wrong with taking time to reflect on what God has done. He's done some great stuff, hasn't he? Enjoy it, give thanks for it. Envelop your arms, just wrap your arms around the lessons you've learned through all the stuff that God has brought you through. But don't make that your constant and obsessive posture. If you were to get in your car today and try to drive to Green Bay and all you did was look in the rearview mirror the entire hour and 15, might take you 20 or 30 minutes. I don't know. It takes us about an hour and 20. but if all you do is look in the rearview mirror, guess what? Yeah, you're going to wreck pretty quickly. Speeding. I'm sorry. Yeah. Somebody in our family has a lead foot. They sell those cars with horsepower, and it's a shame I'm not allowed to use it. Okay. So I need to live out west where there is no speed limit during the day. But here's the deal. We can't spend our entire lives looking in the rearview mirror, or we'll wreck the same way. The Christian life has a primary focus on what lies ahead. It doesn't ignore what's going on right now, does it? I'm looking ahead so that I can live holy, blameless, and pure when? Right now. Right? Three times in verses 12 through 15, Peter says, looking forward. Look forward, looking forward. What are we looking forward to? Well, we're looking forward to the day of the Lord. That's an Old Testament-y thing, isn't it? The day of the Lord. Sounds ominous, and it should, because that is the final day. Okay, so if you... Those of you who are kind of tuned into evangelical theology, if you're looking for rapture language, go over and read Thessalonians, okay? But this is not that. This is final day, second coming, judgment seat of Christ, curtain drops. This is the terminal experience right here, okay? This is the end. So what are we looking for? The day of the Lord. We are looking forward to the day that will come like a thief, is what Peter says. The day that will come like a thief. I'm not a thief, but I'm assuming that an effective thief does not announce or advertise their arrival. You don't get placards in your neighborhood, hey, I'm going to be in your neighborhood this week. It'd be easier if you left the doors unlocked. Big smile, I am your local thief. They don't buy, you know, billboards downtown, I'll be in your neighborhood soon. Why? Because being a thief doesn't work unless people are surprised or unaware or not there. So people must be constantly prepared, and that's really why Peter uses that metaphor. For Christians, there's no room to be lax in this. We have to be ready at all times. And this is just keeping with what he heard Jesus say. Be prepared, be ready, be alert. Over and over. Jesus didn't give a lot of predictions on when it was going to happen. He just said, be ready for it. He really had a very simple end times theology. So we have to be prepared ourselves, and we need to make sure that we're helping others be prepared for that day as well. Second, we are looking forward to a day that will purify the material world. Once in a while, I have to apologize for modern translations and their ineffectiveness in the use of the Greek, and today is one of those days. I read from the NIV. I love it. I know people who were on the committee that translated it, but when they say the term destroy over and over in this passage, it gives us a misunderstanding of what's actually being said in the Greek. And the Greek is, it's going to be purged. It's going to be purified. So if it's kind of like the image in Malachi where the Lord sits over our lives like a refiner of silver and gold, right? Where the heat's put on it and the dross comes to the top. You scoop the dross off and you're left with the pure element of gold or silver. Well, the same thing is going to take place. God did not create all of this to wipe it off of history's books and start over. What is he going to do? He's going to purify it with fire. And he's going to get rid of all of the exploitative things that we've done to the planet to ruin it. And he's going to set it back to its original intent. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Thank God. It's going to be just like Eden again. No curse, no thorns. I hope I don't have to mow the lawn, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. I know there's work that's going to have to be done. I just, like, hey, could I have something else to do in eternity than mow the lawn? But there's going to be this purifying. He's not wiping away the current heavens and earth. He's going to renew them, sending this purifying fire to deliver them from these adverse effects of our greedy, abusive, manipulative, exploitative actions against his beloved creation. You say, well, give me another verse. Read Colossians chapter 1. God is, around verse 20, God is reconciling all things to himself through Jesus Christ. Not just human beings, all of creation. He is reconciling to himself through what Christ has done on the cross. And third, we are looking forward to the day that will bring a renewed heaven and a renewed earth. Again, not complete destruction, but purification of the existing creation. God is intent on returning his creation to its condition before our sins and our actions damaged it. Again, back to the garden. Beauty, the beautiful Garden of Eden. The effects of our sin will be gone. Life will flourish. If you think back to the book of Isaiah, the predator animals will lie down with the prey. The lion and the lamb will lie down together. The infant will reach into the nest of the viper and will not be harmed. Sworn enemies will be friends and they will be co-workers. And the dead in Christ will be restored to those who serve him and worship him. Looking forward to that. That's what we need to be looking forward to. And it doesn't prevent me from living now. It actually makes me able to live well now when I look forward to that. There's a purifying day that's coming and it's going to set everything right. And it's going to restore things to the way it was intended to be. Hallelujah. And I can live in that day here and now. I can live in that day here and now. So to have an Advent view of time, we have to recognize that God's time is different from ours. Realizing that his patience is not an aggravation, it's an opportunity for us. And remembering that our lives are always looking forward to the day when everything will be purified by God's refining fire and it will be set right. And we will live in a world where righteousness doesn't just happen once in a while, but where righteousness dwells. That's amazing. We don't even know. There's no way to comprehend what that means. We get a little taste of it here and there, but what? In that place, it dwells there. And so much so that we won't need governmental agencies to police our behaviors because we will all live, what? In righteousness. Yeah, we always think of no more tears and no more crime. I think there's no more crime and no more prisons, man. That's some beautiful stuff too, isn't it? Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to go to prayer, and a few things. If you're not right with God today, please hear this. God gave you today out of his patience so that you have the opportunity to get right and straighten up. Today's your opportunity to straighten up and fly right and follow Jesus. Please come and pray with us. If you're struggling with hope today, maybe you're just kind of apathetic about hope. Listen, this world is not all there is with all its chaos and sin and unrighteousness, all the corruption, pollution, injustice, exploitation, and oppression will one day be burned up in the fire of God and purified away. We're going to come and pray with thanksgiving for what God is about to do. We were also given today, all of us were given today, as an opportunity to make the good news about Jesus known to those who have not yet decided to follow him. Today's a day of opportunity. God is patient with us. So let's take advantage of that opportunity. I have family and friends, you have family and friends that don't know him yet. We need to pray that God would use us and use others to reach them. Listen, I think we are the answer to so many other people's prayers when we run across people that don't know Jesus. Somebody somewhere has been praying for them and that conversation comes up. I can't help but think of the person in the last couple of weeks, a friend from church here and I have been talking to at the Y. That person's family has been praying for them for years. I know it. And we're just happen to be there, be an instrument. Here am I, send me, right? And so we want to pray that we would be the answer to somebody else's prayer, and then we're going to pray that somebody would be the answer to our prayer for somebody that's in need. Natalie, if you would come to the piano. Let's do as we do every Sunday here. Let's gather up for prayer. Man, if you're not right with God, make it right with God today. He's so patient with us. And then let's pray that, listen, if we're struggling with hope, Jesus is coming soon. Aren't you happy about that? We have hope in him, and there are people who still need to know him. So we have opportunity. So let's take that opportunity this morning and pray that God would be gracious, that God would forgive sin, that God would utilize us, that he'd restore our hope. Would you come and join me right up here near the front, folks? And let's take a few minutes before we leave this morning and just say, God, thank you for your patience. Thank you that your patience is our opportunity. Thank you that we today have the opportunity to make sure that we're right with you, to make sure that we are helping others come to know you. And Lord, if we're struggling with hope this morning, I just ask that you would restore hope to us. There is coming a day when you will set everything right. Praise God. So would you lift your voices with me and let's just call out to God. Some of us need to repent. We need to say, God, I haven't been living for you. Forgive me. Today, in your patience, you gave me this day and this opportunity. And Lord, I want to do everything I can to live spotless and blameless for you. Lord, I have friends and family. You folks have friends and family that don't know Jesus yet. And Lord, we're going to call on their names. We're going to say, Jesus, use us. We don't want it just to fall off to somebody else, but use us as a part of that reconciliation, that restoration, that redemption. And Lord, send other people in their path, co-workers and friends and neighbors, random people at a gas station, a doctor's office, at a grocery store or a restaurant, just on their way to some form of recreation, some random person at a gym. Send people across their pathway. Help us to be the answer to somebody else's prayer as well. We want to be that random person that just shows up in a spot and has a conversation and demonstrates that Jesus loves everyone. Lord, we are open to this. Use us for your purposes, Father God. Help us to have lives that are constantly looking forward to the day when you restore all things, looking forward to the day when you return, looking forward to the day when all evils are done away with and justice is made. All accounts are made right. Jesus, you're so good. Thank you, Lord. In this Advent season, we look forward to that second coming. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord. We exalt you, King Jesus. We give thanks for the hope that we have. We are not a hopeless people. We serve a risen Savior who's coming again. We serve a Savior who is intimately involved in the world today. We bless you, Jesus. We adore you and we exalt you. Praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord Jesus. And we're going to take the next few minutes and we're going to pray for each other, whether you're seated, whether you're standing here. It'd be great. Find somebody to pray with. And if you have a need in your life, go ahead and tell them. We all have a priestly responsibility to carry each other's needs before the throne of grace. So if you have a need, tell somebody near you. They'll pray for you. And otherwise, let's pray for each other that the Holy Spirit would strengthen us. The Holy Spirit would empower us for the week ahead. There's so many things that he wants us to do. He's going to use us for His purposes. He's using us in His plan. He's advancing His cause. And so let's just embrace that. Let's embrace that this morning and pray for each other. God, fill the person on my right, fill the person on my left with Your Holy Spirit. Yes, fill them with Your Holy Spirit, Lord. You know what You have planned in advance for them to do. So, Father, right now as we lay hands on each other and we pray for each other, do that work in them, empower them, give them creativity, give them love, give them patience, whatever fruit and gift is necessary to do that work this week, do that, Holy Spirit, in their lives right now, in Jesus' name. And there are people who have needs that they're sharing with friends right now. And we pray that You'd meet those needs according to Your glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Thank You, Lord, that heaven is full of gifts that meet our needs. Give those gifts this morning, Jesus. Give those gifts this morning to those who are in need. Father, we pray for friends who are in need this morning. We pray for little Zayden that we've been praying for weeks and weeks and weeks. Give a gift of healing this morning, we pray, in Jesus' name. Just drop that right into that hospital room. Bless that family with restoration and healing. Give them a gift of strength, Father God. Provision of finances. Father, we pray for a friend, Sandy, who is in cancer treatment right now. We pray that You'd heal her body. Thank You for good news that has come this week. And we just pray, Father, that You would continue to make her situation a testimony of Your glory, opening up doors of opportunity. Father, there are others who are at home today and they can't be with us. Let them sense Your presence right where they're at. Strengthen them, restore them, renew them, Father God. Yes, Lord, yes. Thank You, Jesus.
Come, Lord Jesus.
We stand in awe of it, and Lord, as we go from this place, we pray that you would receive the glory from our lives this week, that you would lead us in those paths that lead us directly to those good works that you have prepared in advance for us to do, and fill us with your anointing so that we can do those things in a way that represents Jesus well. We bless you and we honor you in Jesus' name.